When the history on your household is written, what stories will be told? Will your children recall with fondness the fun and laughter you generated? Will they talk about the safe harbor of kindness they found in your care? Welcome to Insight for Living. Today, Chuck Swindoll is teaching from Psalm 127, where we read these words, "Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them." Before we hear the message, Chuck leads us in prayer.
At the beginning of another week, our Father, we pause for the most important possible thing we could do, and that is to speak with you, and then to listen as you speak through your word to us. How grateful we are for your matchless grace giving to us what we can never repay and do not deserve. Thank you for your favor granted to those so unworthy. Thank you as well for your mercy that endures fresh every morning with compassion as you are touched with our needs, our weaknesses. You are there to give us strength and to provide for what we cannot give to ourselves, and that is the ability to press on victoriously, triumphant in Christ. We thank you as well for your forgiveness, which is constantly ours at the very moment of confession. As far as east is from west, you remove our transgressions from us. Finally, our Father, we thank you for your love, always unconditional, never based on our response to you, but constantly ours to claim and to be refreshed by your love. In the name of your Son, we pray. Everyone said, amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his newly formatted Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message titled, "Delightful Memories Your Children Won't Forget."
Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Isn't that a great word picture? Let me ask you a question. Ever taken up archery? If you haven't, I have good counsel. Don't. Now why? Oh, it isn't like throwing rocks, friends. The reason is, it is a very, very, I call it delicate sport. Especially the kind of arrow in the hand of the warrior that's in the psalmist's mind. This is not bow hunting with some contraption you carry with you as you're hunting for some animal. This is the bow and arrow. You must use it very carefully. You must aim it with precision. You must focus on the target. And the slightest move, you'll miss the target altogether. Clearly, it's a picture of a parent guiding a child with meticulous interest, planning on the trajectory that will be involved during the growing years so that it ultimately causes the child to reach the target that is in front of them. Children learn they're important when they realize that they are those we are guiding through life. When things happen, we take the time to explain why that may have happened. We even will tell them at times, "Your mom doesn't know why this has happened, but we're going to get through this together." Or, you know, It may be expensive for you to go to that school, but I'll tell you what. We're going to do our very best, and you're going to work hard as well, and we're going to pray that there might even be a scholarship provided, because we would love to see your goal met. That's guiding the child, guiding them along the way. Remember, the verse says they are the children of our youth. I've often thought as a grandparent, and soon to be a great-grandparent, by the way, how great it is that the Lord gives little babies to young couples. We who are older understand that. With young couples, there are those delightful times that for us would be just an energy drain. I was at Whole Foods the other day shopping for Cynthia, and I'd come to the checkout counter, and I looked at the counter just beyond me, and there was a young mother. She had a child by the cart holding on. She had another child that would not hold on to the cart standing near. She had a third child sitting in the little infant seat in the grocery cart. She had a fourth baby in her arms. And if I wasn't mistaken, she looked pregnant. But I never ask. I never, ever do that. But here she is, absolutely delighting in these kiddos. She is smiling and having more fun. And you know how it is when they're at the check stand. On some tic-tacs, on some tic-tacs, on some tic-tac, 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 tic-tac. On some tic-tac, on some tic-tac. Okay, sweetheart, all right. No, we usually don't do that. Okay! We pick up three of them and throw them at them. They're the children of our youth. It takes energy. You want to guide them carefully. You want it to be a time of joy and happiness, though admittedly it takes the right attitude for it to be a happy time. But that's God's plan. Did you miss it? Verse 1 of chapter 128, how blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Blessed is back in verse 5 of 127. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Same word. Usually in the Hebrew, the word blessed or blessing is in the plural. How blessed many times over is the one who has these children under his care. First two verses are mentioning blessedness and happiness. Verse 4, behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. There it is again. It's the word for happy. Eugene Peterson captures all of this in The Message. Listen to his rendering. Enjoy the blessings. Revel in the goodness. Your wife will bear children as a vine bears grapes. Your household lush as a vineyard. The children around your table as fresh and promising as young olive shoots. Stand in awe of God's yes. Oh, how he blesses the one who fears God. Enjoy the good life in Jerusalem every day of your life, and enjoy your grandchildren. Peace to Israel. All of this brings me to the third point. Children will remember that memory when they know that you understand the happiness and joy that accompanies their presence. How rarely do they hear words like, you bring such joy to us. You are a source of such delight. It's great to see how you're growing up and you're becoming your own person. It makes your dad's heart beat a little faster to realize that. You see, this is about the atmosphere we build into the home. My mother used to have an interesting saying about other homes. She said, you will learn as you grow up, son, that every home has its own smell. Maybe you've heard that. Maybe you've smelled that. It isn't a stench. It's an aroma. Think of it that way. Isn't that a nice way to put it? When you come to our home, there's a certain smell that's not in your home. When I go to your home, there's a certain smell that's different from your neighbor's home. Same is true of an atmosphere. Think back to your museum of memories and recall the atmosphere. Because you see, children learn what they live. And they carry that atmosphere with them into their adulthood. Dorothy Law Nolte writes, if a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns confidence. If a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. If a child lives with security, he learns to have faith. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. If a child lives with acceptance and friendship, he learns to find love in the world. Show me a reluctant, shy, fearful adult, and I will be able to describe for you the museum of his memories. We don't learn to be shy and reluctant and fearful because things are going great. We learn that because we grew up in fear. We grew up in an insecure setting, often where the parents are angry. So much bullying going on today, obviously, it's an outgrowth of angry homes where a child has learned to fight. If you live with shame, my heart goes out to you because you were taught to be guilty as you grew up. I know a man who tells me that every time he was around his father was telling him what he did wrong. What a tragic waste of time. What a terrible atmosphere to create. When I come across a secure, outgoing, strong-hearted individual, I know what's in that museum. I know right away that they were reared as a healthy olive tree. And I know they're not just by happenstance secure. It's the result of their growing up in a secure setting. It's like this little girl I read about whose name is Martha. People need an atmosphere in which they can specialize, hone their skills, and discover their distinctiveness. The biographies of great are sprinkled with accounts of how some teacher or some kindly employer looked closely enough to see a spark no one else saw, and for periods at least, believed in their ability to perfect that gift when no one else did. The Taft family, for example, was evidently good at developing their children to cut their own swath and to find a specialty of which to be proud. When Martha Taft was in elementary school in Cincinnati, she was asked to introduce herself to the class. She stood tall and said, "My name is Martha Bowers Taft. My great-grandfather was president of the United States. My grandfather was a United States senator. My daddy is ambassador to Ireland, and I am a brownie." I love that. I am a brownie. How would you introduce yourself? Isn't it interesting? It all goes back to your memory. It all goes back to how the olive shoot was cultivated, in what kind of atmosphere the little olive plant was allowed to grow up. Quick review here. When parents acknowledge that each child is a gift and a reward, believe me, the children learn they're important. When parents recognize that they must give time for guidance, like an arrow shot from a bow, the children learn they're important. They've taken time for you because they see you as valuable. I heard from a father just before our second worship service began. He was telling me about his son that is getting ready to go to New York for a period of weeks where he will sing with the New York Metropolitan. It's a special class where out of hundreds of potential They chose 30, and his son is one of them. It wasn't shameful or shameless pride. It was a delight when he said, "My son is one of the 30. Isn't that great? He has helped his son by guiding him toward his goal of becoming a soloist, a singer. Children learn their importance when they see that we give time to their guidance. Third, children learn the powerful role of happiness and joy when they are reared in an atmosphere during their growing up years of joy. Now, I thought about the investment of time and energy in our children, and I go back over the same Psalms and I find four things that we long for as we grow up. And all four are sandwiched here within or between the lines of these two Psalms. First, we long to remember that our parents made time for us. Where do I get that? Well, not only is the statement made that it is vain for me to build a home without the Lord in the center, I also read where it's vain for me to spend all my time at the office or at the shop or in the business or in our career. Let me tell you something. There aren't many occupations like ministry that can take all of your time, all of it, because people always have needs, because there are always things to do when it relates to a growing church or something on the mission field or something related to a counseling ministry, whatever may be your ministry, how this speaks to me. I need to remember that as my children are growing up, they still need to know that I have time for them. I read a sad letter in Robert Raine's book, Creative Brooding. It's written by a young man to his family. He, by the way, by then was a juvenile delinquent. Listen to his letter. "Dear folks, thank you for everything, but I'm going to Chicago and try and start some kind of new life. You ask me why I did those things and why I gave you so much trouble, and the answer is easy for me to give you, but I'm wondering if you will hear me and understand. Remember when I was about 6 or 7 and I used to want you to just listen to me? I remember all the nice things you gave me for Christmas and my birthday, and I was really happy with the things about a week. At the time, I got the things, but the rest of the time during the year, I really didn't want presents. I just wanted all the time for you to listen to me like I was somebody who felt things too. Because I remember even when I was young, I felt things. But you always said you were busy. Mom, you're a wonderful cook and you had everything so clean and you were tired so much from doing all those things that made you busy. But you know something, Mom? I would have liked crackers and peanut butter just as well if you had only sat down with me a while during the day and said to me, 'Tell me all about it. Maybe I can help you understand.' I think all the kids who are doing so many things grown-ups are tearing their hair, worrying about, are really looking for somebody that will have time to listen a few minutes and who really and truly will treat them as they would a grown-up who might be useful to them, you know, polite to them. If you folks had ever said to me, 'Pardon me,' when you interrupted me, I would have dropped dead. If anybody asks you where I am, tell them I've gone looking for somebody with time because I've got a lot of things I want to talk about. Love to all of you, your son." I don't read the letter simply to stir up guilt or shame. I read the letter to prod you to awareness. Maybe you didn't have the time in years past, but now that you understand a little better, having these years that have passed, maybe brought you into your grandparenting years or your years with adult children, maybe it's time to rethink some of that. I'll hit on this later in the series, but maybe it's time for a very sincere apology. I've never met a child who held an apology against a parent, ever. I've always found that an apology resulted in a greater respect. So first, we long to remember parents who've made time for us. Never underestimate the value of time. It's a treasured part of the museum of memories. My dad took time. He took time to show me how to tie a mantle on a Coleman lantern, to teach me how to light it and not to touch it because it became an ash. My grandfather took time to show me how to crank up a Evinrude motor and how to catch redfish and speckled trout in the Gulf, in the bay. My dad took time to flounder with me as we walked along in knee-deep water and talked about whatever you talk about when you flounder and it's dark and you're swinging a lantern over clear water. Your parents take time? Okay, maybe they didn't. Okay, forgive them. Are you a grandparent? Now's your chance. If your children didn't have your time, now's your chance. My wife takes time to have lunch with one of our granddaughters every week. Every week, it's just the two of them. They have their own little table at their own little restaurant. Cynthia always says, we have to get there early so selfish people won't have taken our table away from us. Isn't that a great line? Time for a grandchild. I had two grandsons I took to breakfast the other day. We went to IHOP. They're still trying to bring back enough food to supply the place when the two boys left. Are you ready? One of the 17-year-old got the breakfast sampler, which is three of everything. Everything. Ham, bacon, cheese, eggs, toast, hash browns. Could I have extra hash browns? Oh, sure. He said, by the way, I would really like French toast. Could you bring me a plate of French toast? She said, is this for you or just some, is there someone? I said, oh, it's just for him. And then the other one had a T-bone steak for breakfast. Oh, plus extra hash browns. But they'll never remember the food. They'll never forget the time that their granddad had to laugh with them, have fun with them. Watch them as they squirted out of the ketchup bottle their name on the plate. I don't know why that was fun, but it seemed fun at the time. Because I don't want to get a letter like this from a grandson or a son. Neither do you.
There's no shortcut for spending quality time with those you love. You're listening to Insight for Living and another message from the 12-part classic series called Biblical Parenting. To purchase the CDs of this series or the downloadable audio files, go to insightworld.org/store and look for the classic series called Biblical Parenting. It's possible you've been mulling over Chuck's closing comments and feeling a measure of regret about the heaviness in your home. Maybe it hasn't really been a fun place to live, and you're ready to make some changes. Well, Chuck delivered a message called Increasing the Priority of Your Family. We believe the biblical application in this presentation will help you. So ask for the CD, Increasing the Priority of Your Family. It's yours without cost or obligation when you go to insight.org/priority. This offer is only valid in the United States. And then while there's still time, let me also recommend that you request the devotional book Chuck has written called Faith for the Journey. It's a 30-day collection of brief readings designed to help you activate your trust in God with intentionality. And this offer ends Friday. Chuck, faith is far different than hoping something good will happen or wishing our circumstances would change.
You're absolutely right, Dave. Faith is far different than a wish. Faith is doing what God tells us to do, even when His instructions appear dangerous or might cause us to experience loss or suffering. I like the way my friend Philip Yancey describes faith. He wrote, "Faith means believing in advance what will only make sense in reverse." You see, faith is asking the question, "What does the Lord want me to be doing right now, in this moment?" And then doing what we know is pleasing to Him. Need a real-life example? There's no one more qualified to teach us about faith than the man Abraham. Abraham was one who courageously dared to trust God. Are you ready to experience faith like Abraham's? Let me invite you to take a 30-day journey with me. I want you to read my devotional book based on the remarkable life of Abraham. It's called Faith for the Journey, Daily Meditations on Courageous Trust in God. A copy is yours when you contact Insight for Living Ministries right now.
This 30-day devotional from Chuck is yours when you give a donation of any amount to support the ministry of Insight for Living. And here's how to get in touch. Go online to insight.org. Or if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. When you give a donation to Insight for Living, you're becoming the instrument God uses to reach families all across our country and even around the world with the kind of biblical instruction we've enjoyed today. Thanks for investing in this ministry so moms, dads, grandparents, aunts, and uncles can benefit from clear Bible teaching just as you have. Give today. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Or go online to insight.org. If you're listening in the United States, our phone number once again is 1-800-772-8888. Or give online at insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker. Again on Wednesday, Chuck Swindoll describes how to create delightful memories your children won't forget. Right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Delightful Memories Your Children Won't Forget, was copyrighted in 2012, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.